But I want you to remember one of the things that was in the song. Just take this, author of life, author of life. Take that little morsel and either stick it in your hole in your tooth or, you know, in your back pocket or in your pocketbook or whatever. Just remember that. Once again, I'd like to draw attention to this card. Okay, this card is very important. We get one every month. It tells us again what we're going to be doing. What are we doing today anyway? Who are we? Remember, it's an easy way to bring people into God's house and hopefully into God's kingdom, hopefully into God's family. Like Elaine said, everyone that comes into this house as a guest is freely welcomed here. Whatever we can do for you, just let us know. We can't do anything for you if you don't let us know. Let us know, and we will be blessed blessing you. I'd like to thank Vaughn and Wendy and the core team, the leadership of this house, for giving this opportunity for me to speak to you today. Who are we, and why is it important we know who we are? I have some things to impart to you today, ordained by the Holy Spirit. I have a little gadget here. Some of you might know what it is, but most of you probably don't know it. Well, let me get to what we know, okay? We know what this is, right? It's a shoe. Hey, pretty good. You get 5 marbles. And we know what it's used for, right? Actually, one is not enough unless you're like that guy last week, Form was talking about, the one-legged boxer, you know, that'd be good for him. But we know what the shoe's for, right? Shoes for walking, right? It's for protecting our feet. Woo! Okay, we know what this is for, right? I usually wear one of this. Life is good. Thank you, Jesus. This is a hat. What's the hat for? Oh, to cover our bald spot. To protect us from the rain, the sun. Okay, so we know what the hat's for. Also, to pass it. No. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, some of you might have seen me do this before. I prayed to God to be creative, but I guess he gave me the same creation he did the last time I spoke to a couple of kids. Does anybody know what this is? Paul, you're a painter. You would know. Now, there's a clue for you. Anybody know what this is for? Huh? No, it's not a stirrer. Close. Okay, well, if you don't know what this is, you wouldn't know what to use it for, right? I mean, it could be sitting right in front of you. Some of you, like I said, some of you would know, but most people don't know what this is. This is a painter's tool. Most painters don't even know what this is. I'm going to show you what it is, okay? First of all, after you've mucked up your brush and worked with it, hopefully you worked and got some work done, and you cleaned your brush and you had water in it, you take this little brush like this, and you go like this. You shove it in that little crevice there. Oh, this one's being. And what you do is you take it out. Don't do it in the house, especially in the kitchen. It gets all over the cabinets. What you do is you go like this, and all the water comes out. Okay? That's what it's used for. It also has another function. Okay? The other function is a little similar. However, it does a similar job with a different piece of equipment, which is the roller. After you have a roller wet, cleaned, you want to get all the water out, okay? So that's what it's used for. It's a spinner. It's a nice tool. If you want to go buy it, watch out where you buy it, because it ranges anywhere from $25, the highest, and about $13, the lowest. I did a little. I have 3 of them. I don't even use them anymore. But that's what it's used for. And one of the reasons why I'm showing you that is because later on, down the road in this little interpretation I have, I'm going to go back to If you don't know what something is, you don't know what it's used for. And if we don't know who we are, we don't know what God wants to use us for. Is that pretty explainable? Pretty easy to grasp? Okay, first in Romans and then Ephesians. These are some of the things God tells us who we are. And I'm just going to go run down through them, and then I have some scripture. We are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And peculiar is a peculiar word to me. The dictionary says peculiar is unusual or eccentric, odd. We got some of those in here, don't we? A few, huh? We're distinct from all others, belonging to distinctive or primarily to one person. When I read that, I couldn't help but think of Jesus. We belong distinctively or primarily to one person, Jesus. Oh, by the way, I'd like to welcome all guests here today. Thanks for coming. Hopefully you'll get something out of this. Hopefully if you're not saved, you'll leave here saved. You know, I don't know. Well, I do know that every opportunity that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has to reconcile you to Him, He sent His Son that you might be forgiven of your sins. You might be, the door will be open to you to heaven. He died for us. So if at any point in this message, or any point later on, or any point in your life, if you haven't received Jesus Christ and you want to, we're freely here to lead you to Him. So we're around if you want to make that decision. All He says is knock, and the door will be open to you. Okay, the dictionary also says that we are a group or a kind. So most people who are Christian, a group of us would be called Christians, or a body of Christ. We are called Christians because we are Christ-like. We are special or unique. So that's what peculiar means. We are predestined people. We are adopted, sons and daughters. We are children of light. We can cry, Abba, Father, sons and daughters. Now, Abba, I found out this week, I knew it was an endearing term, but it actually in Hebrew means Papa. And when I think of Papa, when I hear Papa, I think of my grandfather. Okay, my grandfather was Papa. One of the first times that I was involved in the vineyard, one of the leaders of the church prayed over me, and they used the word Papa. And that word is very endearing to me because I'm the first grandson of my grandfather. Well, that, I mean, alone is like, you know, if you're the first grandchild, you're like showered with all kinds of love. You're special. Okay, well, when I hear Papa, all I think about is love. Okay, I remember intimate times, even when I was a child, of my Papa. And the Lord knew that Papa was very intimate to me. And he has in the past taken me through some hurts that had occurred, especially when my papa died. Okay, he freed me of that through ministry. Okay, which is also available to each and every one of us, that God wants to free us. We are accepted. We are accepted in the beloved. There's one thing a person wants to do or be is accepted. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be part of something. We are redeemed through His blood. We are forgiven. We are wise and prudent. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are His workmanship. We are a new creation. We are like His poem. We are like His work of art. Each and every one of us. This doesn't just go for Vaughn or Wendy or Johnny Walker or my daughter Gianna or Patrick. It goes for all of us. This is for all of us. We are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, members of one another, members of his body. In John 15, he calls us friends. Now, friends, just listen to that word, friends. He calls you friend. Now, hopefully you have a good mindset of what a friend is. To me, a friend is always there when you need him. A friend is there for when they need you. A friend is somebody you can trust. A friend is somebody you know who will come through for you when you need them. And, of course, it's vice versa. It's not just one way. Okay, we can go on now. In Romans 8:33, now I'm starting at 33 and I'm going to go back and forth. I don't know why this is the way it came out. I sat down and tried to tweak it a little bit, and we just had to leave it the way it is. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We are God's elect. Okay, he didn't take a vote with all his apostles and say, can we elect this one? He elected us. Okay? We are one who is picked out from among the larger group for special privileges, recipients of God's favor and grace. You may say, oh yeah, what privileges? You know, we go through a lot of junk, we go through a lot of suffering sometimes, and we don't feel like we have any privileges. You know, we get downtrodden and discouraged. What privileges? What are my privileges? You ever think that the things we take for granted, like our worship band, like the people around us, okay, the people that help us, and the things we take for granted in daily life may be our special privileges? I mean, when you look in perspective, we could be one of those kids in Guatemala that has no shoes. We could be some poor kid that they, you know, they show on the TV that has flies on his face and can't have enough to eat, and they're bloated. Okay? We take a lot of things for granted because of our mindset and because the lifestyles that we're used to. We just think they take things for granted and not appreciate the small things, and sometimes don't even appreciate anything. Ask me how I know. I get grumpy and I get selfish and I get all, you know, navel gazing and worrying and discouraged. But you know, I'm going on a new track as of today. God's given me this privilege. Ain't no stopping me now. I'm going forward. And I'm going to believe the truths of God, that he says who I am and who we are as much as I can. As long as I continue to go forward and not turn around and look back, I can only go forward. God will honor that. Because it also says here that we are more than conquerors. Conquerors through him who love us. Who love us. We are to be super victorious in all, even in our sufferings. You know, this week I did a thing that I don't usually do in the middle of my suffering. I praise God. You know, I praise God and I forgot about my suffering. He says, praise us in all things, right? Okay, I tried it. It worked. Maybe you should try it. We are to be super victorious, gaining a decisive victory. A decisive victory, more than just an ordinary victory. Decisive. In our trials and tribulations, hardships of life, we have decisive victory. The Greek word for conquer, this is going to be a little tricky. Greek word is hupernikeo. Sounds like a kangaroo. Huperneo. Huper means over and above. Nikeo means to conquer. So we conquer over and above. Huperneo. When you got to conquer, think of a kangaroo. When you're in the midst of it. And start praising God for the kangaroo. We are not, Romans 8:35 says, we are not separated or ever separated from God's love. We are connected to God. Even if, you know what? Even if you're not a believer, you are still connected to God. You think he just created the non-believers just to have non-believers? Think about that one. If any Christian is living in discouragement, knowing and not knowing the blessed assurance of the truth, that nothing can separate you from God's love, and God's love is active at every minute of your life, even if you don't feel it, even if you're in the midst of discouragement, even if you're in the midst of suffering, even if you're in the midst of something tragic or bad in your life, God's love is rich and active in every minute of your life. Praise him, praise him, praise him. You know, it was interesting. I was and talk a little bit about suffering. Someone came up to me this morning and said to me, looks like a lot of us are going through it. A lot of us are suffering. And I don't know if that holds true in your life, but it has in my life. And you know, you can look at it as, oh man, oh, I got to go through this, or welcome it. Because God only takes us through, that's the key word, through something, so we get on the other side. He promised us abundant life. He promised us freedom in all things. Oh, well, sometimes you got to take the long way home. You have to go around to get to the, you know, you have to go through it. The key word is through it. Make sure you go through it. Persist. Don't stop. Continue to pray. Continue to get ministry. Continue to read your Bible. Continue, continue, continue. You didn't receive, in Romans 8:15, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, a lot of times when we're going through it, a lot of fears pop up. Okay, recognize those fears. They're not a God. It says here, he didn't give us the spirit of bondage again to fear. Any fear. We need to recognize them and give them to God and ask him to free us of it. Because fear is the biggest thing that holds me back. So I know it's holding you back. And you know what? God's been revealing a lot of my fears lately. And I can't do anything under my own strength, and neither can you. But you can turn it and say, God, I give you permission. I give you permission with this fear. I don't know if you're going to sovereignly heal me or if you're going to show me something or whatever. But if you give him permission, he's going to work out a way that you're going to have revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit to see and get free of that fear and come on the other side of it and look back at it and say, gee, I don't have that fear no more. He did not give us a spirit of bondage again and again to fear, but receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There's Papa again. Adoption. We've been adopted. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, Spirit to Spirit, that we are children of God, joint heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ. So what does that mean, joint heirs? That means that everything that the Father has endowed upon Jesus Christ, he has endowed upon us. Christ, the anointed one. We all have an anointing. We just have to tap into it. We have to pray and ask God to anoint us every day for the works he has ahead of us in that daily day. In that daily day, that makes pretty good. Everybody's so quiet. Is it that good or am I that boring? Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him. Think about that one. Could you just think about Jesus Christ and him being glorified? I mean, that's awesome. I just imagine Jesus just standing there and God bestowing all his love and his compassion and everything good upon Jesus. And I just see bolts of light coming out of him. You know, he glorified. That's my interpretation of glorification. But you know what? It says here, we may also be glorified with him together. That's something when you think about it. So when you're going through suffering, remember that you're going to be glorified. Whether it's in that little area you're suffering or if it's in the time to come when we are glorified with him in heaven. We need to receive what it truly means to be his child. A child of Almighty God, the Father of lights, the everlasting Father, Abba Father. Praise you, Jesus. Through revelation freely given to us by the Holy Spirit, we may continually, daily, receive what it means to be a child of the Almighty God. Could you imagine that? I mean, Almighty God. I mean, can you say anything more? Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. Whoo! He chose me. He chose you. And he gave you a toolbox and everything you need to go with it. He gave you gifts. He gave you a sound mind. He gave you a compassionate heart. He gave you mercy. He gave you everything you have. When we're born, we don't come out with a suitcase. And when we die, we don't take a hearse with us. Or a trailer like Patrick would have, full of furniture and stuff we're going to take to heaven. We come in empty and we go out empty. So everything between is cake, right? Everything between is blessing. Okay, I guess I have enough notes. I'm going to tell you a little story. This story is I didn't know if I wanted to share it or not because I didn't want to really draw attention to myself. And remember what I said, author of life. Remember that. But through the week, about thinking about this story, I started seeing a bunch of pregnant women. And you'll understand what I mean when I get to the story. A lot of pregnant women. And I started seeing a lot of babies, author of life, okay? Pregnant women's like the kingdom. You know that the baby's going to come eventually, okay? The kingdom of God is now but not yet. Right, Josh? It's now but not yet. Sometimes when you're praying for somebody, and now you'll see the kingdom come. Oh, kingdom come. Bring the Holy Spirit down. Kingdom come. And sometimes you pray for somebody, they don't get healed because they aren't, the kingdom hasn't arrived to them yet. And it says the kingdom will come at the end, the last days. And that can happen at any minute. I mean, I can turn around and boop. Some of us will go up. No, all of us will go up. Anyway, must have been about, 20 years ago? No, before that. Maybe 22 years ago, I was in the vineyard, and I went to a home group. And while I have the word home group in my vocabulary right now, home groups are very important. If you go to home group, you can get set free of a lot of things. You can meet a lot of people, and you can get support whenever you need it, and vice versa. So home groups are very important, especially to me, because this was the first time I was free. Well, let me back up a little bit. I'm getting loose now. Anyway, I had just become a Christian. It was about maybe 6-7 months I was a Christian. And I was praying. And when I first became a Christian, I was on fire. I mean, really, I was like a sponge. And I went to every meeting and all this other stuff. However, I came to a point where I felt like I couldn't go any further with God. In other words, I wanted to, but I felt that there was a block. There was something blocking me from receiving more than from God. And I wasn't quite sure what that was because I had never experienced it before. So I went to talk to somebody, and they told me, well, maybe there is a block. Maybe there's something there that you just don't know about, and we can pray about it. Well, we prayed about it, and this is what happened about maybe 6 months later. I'm in a home group, and we're worshiping and singing, and all of a sudden talk about the kingdom coming right now. All of a sudden, this one of the leaders of the group had a word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge or a vision or a picture, those are like bracelets. They're like little things from God that sometimes was used to free me at that particular situation. And the guy says, Ron Revelle, his name was, he said, I see the inside of a woman, woman's parts, and I see him doubled. Now, that's a pretty wild thing to say. However, that meant something to me because I knew, I said, that could be for me. My mother, at the time when I was born, was documented as one of four women in the world with a double uterus. She had a double uterus. Freaky. Maybe not. Listen to the story. Anyway, while I was growing up, my mother used to tell me that I was a twin. Two of me, huh? Oh. One's enough. Anyway, I never pursued her or asked her. She always, you know, I remember when I was younger, I would ask her, well, what happened to the twin, Ma? What happened? You know, she said, well, it died at birth. I accepted that. Well, when we got down to sit down and start to pray for me, all of a sudden, I started seeing myself in the womb, looking out of my mother. I saw the tile on the old 4-inch tile, the yellowish white. I saw some machinery, and I heard somebody say, this won't take long. This isn't going to hurt. And then the next thing, I started to just scream. I started to say to God, what kind of God are you that I can how can I trust you if you allow this to happen? I made a judgment on God in the womb. What happened was my mother was having an abortion. I never knew this. Pretty wild, huh? She was having an abortion. So, that's how I experienced a murder in the womb. So I made a judgment on God. And that's the point isn't the abortion. The point is that the block that I couldn't get beyond was the judgment I made. You heard what I said. How can I trust a God that allows this to happen? Which also let me believe, and I do believe, that you know God in the womb. Okay, so then I started to get ministry, and we prayed about and broke the judgment. Okay, but the point is, why did I live and the other one didn't? Why couldn't it be the other way around? I often think about that. But I just welcome life. He's the author of life. He authored my life. Regardless of what happened, oh, by the way, a few weeks later, my mother wasn't aware of this, but the Lord had me go tell my mother that she was forgiven for that. He had told me to tell her that, and she was forgiven, and she didn't even know how to approach it, but you could see her countenance change. You could see her go, whew, because she carried that all her life. She even tried to hide it by never talking about it. Okay, so she was set free too. The Lord also allowed me to lead my mother to the Lord through some of this. So even in something that was turned bad, turned to good. Now, even in that home group, one of the ladies came up to me and she says, you know, I have to tell you this. She said, it's just burning in my heart. She said, you know, God says, this is what she said, God said that he allowed that to happen because your mother was so small that he wanted to save one because the two would have choked each other and you both would have went. So that was pretty interesting. A few years later, I had this reaffirming vision of two hot dogs in a birth canal. Two hot dogs. Why it was a hot dog, I don't know. But I like hot dogs. And there was one hot dog on the left side, and then there was another hot dog on the left side, but it was a little, you know, it was about a hot dog apart. And I saw this hand coming in and grabbing the hot dog with all the works on it, relish, sauerkraut, ketchup, mustard, onions, grabbing it. And the plain hot dog was left there. And the Lord said to me, you were the plain hot dog. I enticed the enemy by putting all the frills on the other hot dog. So he took it. Well, you know what? I was meant to be. And like I said, I don't want to draw attention to me. I want to draw attention to you and to God. Each and every one of you were meant to be. Who are you? You are meant to be. You're chosen. You're children of God. We'll get to that later. And God gave me this scripture a couple of weeks later. It's Romans 8:29. And you need to receive this for yourself, not for me. For whom he foreknew. He foreknew. So he foreknew me before and you before you were in the womb. You were in the room of the womb. Wherever you are, he foreknew you. He also predestined you. You have been predestined. Predestined. The seed he placed in your mom. You were predestined. It's like the creator of a Maytag, the creator of the new Fandingle Maytag that's going to come out next week. Okay? There was a creator for that. There was a guy who had this image in his mind, okay, which he wrote down on paper, wrote plans, and then created. Same with God. God created you. Put a little of this gift in, a little of that gift. A little of this. We all are the same, but we're all different with giftings. For whom he also predestined, he conformed to the image of his Son. So you are conformed to the image of Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. So you were called. Richard, Josh, Sal, Jimmy, Patrick, Johnny, Tony, Ashley, Gianna. He's calling you. He's called you. Is it a coincidence you're here this morning? I don't think so. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. If you believe he called you, he's justified you. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You're prophetically perfect, having resurrected bodies to all that have been justified. We're prophetically, right? We're all going to have resurrected bodies. Like Vaughn says, this is just an earth suit. Okay? It protects our spirit. Not just that God knew we would exist. He created us. Like I said, he created us in his mind before he placed us in our mother's womb. He also foreknew those whom God thought of in a personal saving relationship, predestined, planned, that they would ultimately be like Christ. God has a plan for your life. God has gifted you in certain areas. You need to find out what those areas are. You need to develop them, and you need to use them as you walk your daily life in church, your realm of influence. You know, we need to use those gifts that God puts in front of us. This week, only through the power of the Holy Spirit, I just keep seeing anyone who came in connection with me as a gift from God. And I would say, okay, God, do you have something for this one? Do I need to say something? You know, help me. You know, because it's God's heart that all be saved. Okay? And he might want to use us as an instrument of that. I'd like to read this little thing. It wasn't funny, but it was in yesterday's Daily Bread, and it was apropos. The scripture is, be imitators of God as dear children. It's from Ephesians 5:1. And the title is, Chip Off the Old Block. And it starts, I'll never forget the time I was asked to bring my family to a banquet where I was to be the speaker. After dinner, my son Matt came up to me and asked to sit on my lap. Sure, I said. I picked him up. Abba, Father. Over the course of his young life, Matt had watched me strike up conversations with lots of strangers. As an unrepentant people person, in restaurants, I would often look at the server's name tag and start my order with, hey, Barbara, how are you today? Hey, Lenny, can I get an ice cream? How you doing? To which my kids would inevitably say, Dad, you're embarrassing us. Please stop. But now, sitting on my lap, Matt turned to me, or actually turned to the big shot organizer of the speaking engagement, read his name tag, and stuck out his little hand saying, hey, John, how are you? A proud moment for me. He was acting just like his dad, a chip off the old block. This is exactly what Paul had in mind when he exhorted us to be imitators of God. What does that actually mean, imitators of God? Well, Jesus was sent down in the flesh. Correct? He came and he walked the earth. He modeled for us. He was a reflection of the Father. Correct? He only did what the Father did. Correct? He was our model. And that's who we need to imitate, Jesus. That old little saying, what would Jesus do, is pretty apropos. But life has a way of making us anything but like God. We are often uncaring, short-tempered, grumpy, unforgiving, flat out too much like ourselves, and not enough like Him. Ask me how I know. Remember, we are saved to bear the family resemblance, to become increasingly more like Jesus and less like ourselves. Every child of God should have a growing likeness to the Father. Be yourself. God says, be yourself. Don't be afraid of who He created you to be. Be yourself. Accept yourself. A lot of us don't accept who we are. Accept yourself. God doesn't make junk. God is the author of life. He's the author of your life. And I'd like to say, we're going to go into ministry now, and if I can have some people help me with ministry, that'll be great. But I believe that God wants to free some of us from maybe some of the words we may have heard growing up, like you weren't planned, you were an afterthought, or even some of the women. You have too many kids, you shouldn't have had that many kids, or you didn't have enough kids. You know, all those things that were spoken over you. Also, if you're going through any, if you're going through anything right now, come on up. God wants to help you through it. And if you have a hard time accepting yourself, God wants to make you feel accepted today. So that's all I have for you. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope it really gave you a new insight, even about yourself. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And if He created us with a purpose. It's our responsibility to find out what that purpose is. And not in a burdening way, but in a welcoming way. So let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Even though He's been here, let's welcome Him in this ministry time. Holy Spirit, we just welcome Your presence. We thank You for being here with us. We thank You for being here even when we don't feel You. Holy Spirit, we ask You to bring Your revelation power, bring Your empowerment to these people. Bring whatever they need for the next step in their walk with You, so they might be free to be themselves and free to acknowledge and use the gifts that You have placed in them so that Your kingdom will come in their life and in their realm of influence life. And Your kingdom would certainly continue to come in this building, Lord, so that the captives will be set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.